Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Thursday, the 9th of May 2019 here in Sydney, Australia. Welcome. And as usual, everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, krazfiles.com. Everything I put out is connected to that website now. So lots of great articles going up every day, interesting original pieces as well that you won't find anywhere. Check those out. Lots of great podcasts, links, comments, YouTube videos, everything's on there. So please enjoy that. And you can also contact me now. There's a contact tab there. And I also offer people out there who are listeners, if you want to write any interesting articles, I can publish them on the website. So send them to the krazfiles@mail.com. That's all there as well. Everything goes over at Facebook as well. The Kraz Files. I put all the podcasts up on the YouTube channel, the Kraz Files as well. Great news feed widgets up on the website. Real News Australia up there at Queensland, and also Tot News Australia and Renegade Tribune widgets up on the website as well. You can check out our other great website, opensourcetruth.com, as well. Great website. Lots to go over, that's for sure. Now, a great podcast tonight with Barry Eaton. Barry, it's been a while since we had a chat. How are you going, man?
Yeah, look, I'm going fine, Adam. It has been a while. You know, when you contacted me recently, I thought, wow, it must be at least 2, maybe 3 years since I spoke with Adam.
We chatted. Give me a look here. It's all up on my website for listeners out there. If you want to listen to our previous podcasts with Barry in regards to his great books, first one was Exploring the Afterlife with Barry Eaton, and that was January the 15th, 2015.
Yeah, that would have been No Goodbyes, yeah.
No, that was Exploring the Afterlife. That was because we did, I think that was because we talked about your book a little bit later, and then we did the podcast No Goodbyes with Barry Eaton on August the 13th, 2015, the same year. Two books in the 1 year. We were talking about those two books that I read, got on my Kindle, both of them, and they were great shows. So 2015, Barry.
Well, the first one would have been Afterlife, which was my first book, and then No Goodbyes after that. So anyway, so this is the third part of the trilogy I've written now, Adam. So it's timely that we should connect again.
I think so. They're great books. I love them.
Thank you.
I've been reading, I don't know, you really stand out, Barry, from the whole sort of New Age thing and everything like that. And they're really hard-hitting, great books, straight from the heart. I'm into your third book now. We're going to talk about that and promote it tonight. I loved your first book, Afterlife. I thought it was an incredible book, something I'll always keep. I've always gone through, always talked about this subject on the podcast as well. I try to cover it. It's a really deep one. Well, I don't really connect with too many people writing books like this, Barry, I've got to say. There's not too many. I mean, I will talk about your radio show. I know you do that a lot. You talk to a lot of people about these experiences and everything, but it's great for me to connect with you again with this book. It's been a few years. I guess we'll just dive into it and talk about how this came about. I was going to read your bio, but it's you've just done so much, Barry.
Just summarize it quickly. Yeah, we won't go into the whole schlemiel there, Adam. You know, take too long. I've been around on the planet this time too many years.
I know. Well, you know, it's your bio here on your website. It's just talking about all your experience in the media and entertainment industries, how you're so experienced in radio and TV presenting, and many years in Australian broadcasting corporations and commercial radio and TV stations. Just great lifestyle shows, talk back, everything. And of course, you're a writer, documentary films, writing columns for magazines, just so busy, astrology to theatre, travel. And this is the great book, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. This was just an amazing book all the way back in 2011. Is that first published in 2011? There you go, Barry. Amazing.
Yeah, that was the first one. It took me right up to that time in my life. I'd always wanted to write a book, and I, as you said, working in radio, TV, and films and theatre and that as well. But I'd always wanted to write a book, and I got so much satisfaction out of it. I can't tell you, Adam.
Yeah, amazing. And I know that was a big one for you to release as well. And that was published and international as well. And you talk about here how it was released over in Hungary, the Czech Republic. My website's very popular in the Czech Republic for some reason.
Oh, right.
It's very highly ranked there. So a lot of interesting people there, they like the website and the podcast. Slovakia
great.
And all this. And then No Goodbyes came after that. That was the second one after Afterlife. And it was released in Australia and New Zealand by Allen and Unwin in March 2014 and in North America by Tatcha, imprint of Penguin Books in 2015. And it says here, Barry, third book, The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife, was co-written with your partner, Anne.
Yeah.
And tells how he healed from cancer by combining holistic and mainstream medical practices. Very interesting. And says here, Barry, you're a qualified astrologer, psychic medium. And in 2012 did what terms postgraduate course in mediumship. Very interesting. So many great things. I could go on here all night, Barry. it's really amazing. And it just goes on and on and on, everything that you've done. Really incredible. And sometimes when I see your interviews on TV, we'll talk about those tonight as well. You don't mention your radio out there as well. How's that going, your amazing radio show?
Oh, look, it's great, Adam. I've been doing it now for 17 years, this particular one, on the internet and now also on iTunes. And it covers everything in the metaphysical area, everything from astrology through to Zen Buddhism. And, much like yourself, I like to talk about and investigate so many different topics that you don't get on mainstream radio and TV. And that's important.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I love covering this stuff. This is something... Well, we'll talk about it tonight a little bit. I don't know why it's close to me and why I'm interested in all of this research and study. I've been doing it for years myself as well, and your books. It's an amazing thing, but obviously this is a big one for you, the new book, Past Lives Unveiled. Why don't we go into this? This has just been released, I'd say, Barry, in May. I know you said that it was coming out in May.
Talk about this book.
Give us some bullet points, how it came about, how long you've been organizing and writing this, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Adam. When I wrote Afterlife, I connected with a group of spirits on the other side in the afterlife, and they gave me some wonderful material for my first book, and I thought that was it. But then I was told when I reconnected with my team on the other side, hang on, this is just the beginning. We've got a long way to go yet. And I said, what, one more? And they said, yeah, at least one more. So then I got the message. No Goodbyes came out a year or two after that. And then after that, I then also got the message that there had to be a third part. There had to be a trilogy. And if I'd done two books on the afterlife, then we have to have a look at continuing life, because that was the main theme of both of those books, that life continues. It's not just you don't die, you don't sort of go into blackness, the switch doesn't go off and you disappear. No, it's life is a continuing stream of consciousness. And that's the subtitle of this book, actually, Past Lives Unveiled, is Discover How Consciousness Moves Between Lives. And that's one of the things we look at. But the whole area of ongoing life is so important. It takes the fear out of, well, leaving the body and what we refer to as dying or passing over or transitioning or whatever phrase you like to use. And it takes that fear away that we are just not going to disappear off somewhere, that it's just part of our existence. I've always used the analogy, Adam, about we're like actors. And what happens with an actor? Because I originally trained in the theatre. So you go in there, you qualify, as you do all your training as an actor, and then you start going out and getting work. Well, you've usually got an agent or some people helping you there. Then you get cast in a show. It might be a play, it might be a film or a TV if you're lucky, whatever. Then at the end of that, it's all over. You take the makeup off, put the costumes away, you disappear off back home, and you wait for the next role. Now, you might have an agent organizing things for you, or you might have producers contacting you, but you're waiting. And in between time, you're not just sort of sitting around and twiddling your thumbs. You're preparing yourself. You're keeping in touch. You're learning from the last thing you've done, maybe improving your contacts, chatting to other actors, everything like that. So then when the next role comes along, bang, you're into it. So you train for that. You do the performances. You finish back into the, they call it resting and acting. Well, it's the same thing with our lives. When we disappear from this planet in this particular lifetime, we just come back to where we came from because we are purely energy. And the energy of the soul, which has a vehicle around it, which we refer to as the spirit, and that attaches itself to the heart. So when the body dies, the heart separates from the soul. And so that energy, that soul energy, then goes back to where it came from originally, which makes logical sense, doesn't it? Because it's energy, it can't be destroyed. It can be transmuted, but it can't be destroyed. So it goes back there and basically recuperates from that lifetime, that acting role, if you like, and waits for the next role to come along. And in the meantime, preparing, doing all sorts of things, but also resting, learning from what you've done, looking at your experiences, and then moving on to the next stage, preparing yourself for the next lifetime, the next role on this planet and on other planets as well. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's interesting. And into your book now, Barry, just as much as I can. And it's already fascinating. I like the way that you write too. You know, you write, it's a real page turner. You always do that with your books. And
thank you.
It's not complicated or confusing. It's very, I think it's very accessible for people just to dive right in. And it's amazing. I was saying that as well, Barry. It really is like a, you're really like an actor on your stage. And I think someone may have said somewhere that it's like a roller coaster in as well. You know, you get on that roller coaster and it starts off light and it sort of starts to go over a couple of bumps and then it sort of heads up.
Yeah.
Goes up and up and up, and you're sort of looking at the view, you're kind of chilling out, you know, and then it gets to a few little scary bits that it goes over, and then it goes higher and higher, and then you go the big swings and down and around, you know.
That's right.
You come out the end of the tunnel after the ride, you know. And so it's amazing. I was saying on one of my last shows that I am guilty. I don't know why I do it, Barry, but I worry about the past and the future, you know, what's coming down the line too much. And I don't know what you think about this, you know, we don't spend enough time in the moment, do we? And I was sort of thinking that life is sort of like being on a speeding train where you're sitting in that seat and you're going somewhere and it's no use worrying about the scenery that's gone past or what's coming. You just got to sort of sit in your seat. And being on a train's funny because it's like the future, you know, the past and the present and the future colliding all at one time, you know. And I was thinking about that, you know, that you just got to enjoy the ride and not worry about everything. And I have been doing that, especially last year, and I've been trying to fix that myself. I've been worrying about things that it haven't happened yet, and past things, and I feel like because I've been doing that, the moment has been speeding up, and I feel like I'm missing time with my family, worrying about things. What do you think this is happening with a lot of people? They're so worried about what may be coming, and they might be taking trips, or they might have things they're planning, or they're thinking all the time about past situations and things that went on in their life. You get stuck here, don't you?
Well, yeah, several years ago, and I think I like to end up my talks when I'm doing live talks with this particular reference. I got woken up in the middle of the night, and quite often we get woken up about 3 o'clock in the morning when you're looking and moving in a spiritual direction, and we get what's called a download. We can be getting downloads from our spirit guides or from our helpers, advisors on the other side. Some people call them guardian angels, whatever. But in this instance, I got woken up in the middle of the night by an ancient Chinese philosopher. Now, he wasn't standing on the edge of the bed saying, "Wake up, Barry." It was obviously a spiritual visit, and it was his soul energy that came through. And he identified himself as Lao Tzu. Now, I'd heard the name before, didn't know much about it. I'd been researching another story, actually, for script. Knew a little bit about Lao Tzu, an ancient Chinese philosopher, very well respected. In China, obviously, and in many other parts of the world. Now, Lao Tzu came through and basically told me that there was something that he had written that I needed to be able to embrace into my life and to include it in my work. And he disappeared, and I went back to sleep again. After a while, I'm thinking, what on earth was all that about? But anyway, woke up the next day, spoke to my partner, Anne, and told her the story. And we both started looking. And when you Google Lao Tzu, and he spells his name L-A-O-T-Z-U, all sorts of stuff comes up, including masses of quotes. Now, one of his most famous quotes, and as soon as Anne found it, it just resonated with me. I said, yes, that is what Lao Tzu was getting across to me. And I use this one quite a lot. And the quote is, if you are depressed, you're living in the past. If you are anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present. Now, I've got that printed out. I've got it in my office studio here where I am at the moment. And every time I look up from my computer, there's Lao Tzu looking at me, stroking his beard and saying, okay, Barry, just work with that. Now, I've talked to a lot of people. I do consultations with astrology and medium work and everything like that. And so many people that are depressed, when we analyze it down, they are living in some way in the past. They haven't released some aspect of their past. Usually it's this particular lifetime, but in many cases, it's an aspect of a past life that also needs to be released so they can get on. So this depression is there. Now, I work with another friend of mine who is a hypnotherapist, and Judith Richards, her name is, and she runs a course called the Richards Trauma Process, which she's developed herself. I actually hosted a webinar with her a few weeks ago. And Judith guarantees in 3 sessions that you will be able to release all of this trauma. And there's so much trauma around these days. People who come back from war zones, people who have domestic violence. Look, the list goes on and on. And Judith is able to, by getting into the subconscious and working with this link to the past, and she admitted, yes, that is, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. There's an aspect of past that's there. So that, in summary, is basically why you might be down, you or anybody else for that matter. Let the past go. But first of all, you've got to identify it and accept that it is a past. Now, you could be hanging on to an old relationship. You could be hanging on to an old grudge or an old fear or anything from this lifetime or another one. Let it go. Be in the present. And don't be anxious about the future, because a lot of that comes with fear. And I've always said the shortcut to fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And so many of our fears are just that, false evidence.
Mm.
So, you know, let it all go. Here's this guy, thousands of years ago, coming up with this stuff, and it is so pertinent here in 2019. Nothing changes.
Yeah, that's right. And you're talking in your new book, Past Lives Unveiled, about this stress digital overload in our modern lives. And I was watching a video the other night about that a lot of people feel like time is speeding up, and that may be because our brains are trying to keep up with technology as it moves so quickly, and we feel like time's speeding up, you know?
Yeah, but time is only a third dimensional reality, and this dimension we're in, there is no such thing as time when you move out into
areas of
space and time. It just doesn't exist. And the afterlife is in a different dimension of reality. So there is no time. There is only the present. And then when we start investigating past lives, you get into the quantum area, there's not only past lives, there are current lives. We are actually, in a quantum mechanism, living all of our lives at the same time. Now, this does my brain in, but, you know, the research says this, and I quite am happy to accept it. I just can't explain it. But it actually happens that all of these lives are happening at the same time, because time does not exist.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to give an example of time without using numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, people go, oh, well, I don't know, the tides or the sun and the moon and everything, but you can't. Why does it feel, what is this feeling people may be getting, getting barrier, because a lot of people feel that that kind of, is it the stress of, is it what you talk about there, is it the technology side of things, so that they feel like their days are going faster and faster? What is that feeling accounted to?
Well, I think it's a lot of things, Adam. Yeah, the feeling that time is so fast, they don't have time to get everything in their lives. They're being ruled by time. So much stress. I've got to get this done now. The boss needs it right now. If I don't do this, I'm going to miss out on this job or this opportunity. And I've got the kids doing this. I've got to pay the mortgage. I've got to run around all over the place. We are just overloading ourselves, and we need to get back to this peaceful balance, which is what it's all about. And this is why when we start to find these blocks, we can look back into the past, access some of our past lives, to find out why we're having these blocks and why we're creating this strain. Sure, technology's got a lot to do with it, because we are over-reliant on technology, but we still need it, and it's still great. But, you know, we can't let it control us. We need it to be able to be there so we can use it to better our life. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, obviously want people to get out and get this book, Barry, so we can just sort of cover bullet points and things that interest me and talk about it tonight. So if I'm a little bit all over the place, that's just how I am, absorbing so much information. But I was watching your interview on TV a week or so ago on Morning Breakfast Show. The Today Show, I think it was. If I'm right, am I right, Barry? Yeah. Yep. And you were talking about, this really interests me, actually. This is one thing I'm very interested in, is the past life regression therapy, hypnotherapy, yep. I guess. Yep. And you were mentioning that you've gone back and discovered these different characters that you were in past lives. And I think it was Richard Wilkins on there. He was saying that was kind of frightening or scary or something, and you were asking him why. This is this fear thing again that pops up. People are scared of going and accessing that, or going
They're afraid of the unknown.
Yeah, that's the thing we... Us humans, we can't seem to... It really is like the layers of an onion, Barry, isn't it? That fear thing keeps bobbing its head up with every situation in our lives. People find the afterlife or death experience or accessing past lives through what you did is a scary thing, and I don't understand that. But very unique. Talk about this, Barry. Have you been able to access your immediate past life, the one before this, or are you doing this for a specific reason? You did mention that you're going in for specific reasons to clear and clean and find out things. This is something that I've been looking at since last year, actually, myself. I was going to go and do it. Obviously, you've got to find a good place to do it, someone that you connect with and trust, but it's something that I definitely want to do, and you have done that. Yeah. Talk a bit about this, and we're going to talk a bit more about this tonight, because it's an interesting topic to me.
Yeah, well, the best way to access your past lives, Adam, is definitely through hypnotherapy, past life therapy. But you've got to get somebody who's experienced and who's going to do it in the right way. It's not just a matter of going down and being hypnotized, going back to a past life, identifying what goes on, and then come back all healed. It's got to be a lot deeper experience than that. And so when you do go back and you access these past lives, you go back with that intention of finding out just why you're going back to a life, to answer questions about what is happening in this life that's not working out. And I said, it might be a relationship that's continually failing for you, or you can't come to terms with your job, or you've got no purpose in life, or you've got fears or phobias, or many, many different areas, and also illness problems that keep on cropping up. Now, when you go back, you regressed back into these lives. Now, this is not some kind of Hollywood time tunnel experience. You don't do this just for the fun of it. Oh, I wonder who I was in a past life. You go back there for a reason, and that's the most important thing. Now, when I was researching the book, I went back into a couple of lives to find out some answers. And also in this particular book, I was taken back purely as an exercise so that I could write about it. But it wasn't just a surface one. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But I was taken back into several lives the immediate past life I had, I actually talked about in my first book, Afterlife, where I went back and I was regressed to my previous life as a young British soldier, Brian, who was about 19 or 20 years of age. Brian was killed on the first day of the Battle of the Somme in France on the 1st of July 1916. He died, he was shot up, and died on the field. The spirit of his grandmother arrived. He didn't realize it was at the time. He thought, my God, what's my grandmother doing out here? Anyway, he suddenly, after a while, he woke up the fact that he said, oh, am I dead, am I? And she said, yes, come with me. And so he went off with her back into the afterlife. And I followed that in that book, The Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. I cover his journey and just what happens when we do leave this particular lifetime. But I've had several other experiences going back into other lives and finding out just exactly why I went back there. Now, that life as Brian was as a soldier and in the British Army. Now, I've been taken back to a couple of other lives. I've apparently had quite a lot of lives as a soldier or a warrior. Now, in my book, the moment the new and past lives unveiled, I was taken back to the life before the life of Brian, which sounds like a movie, doesn't it, the life of Brian? But it was back in the U.S. Civil War, and I was once again British and went over with another officer, and we went over into the southern parts, the Confederate areas, as basically secret agents. We were over there supplying arms to the Confederate Army from the British government because they wanted to maintain contact with the South, and they were providing arms, but they were also getting trade back with cotton and various things like that, tobacco and things. But we were there keeping an eye on everything, reporting back. But then, unfortunately, when the blockade came, we got stuck there. So we ended up being drafted into General Lee's army because of our experience. We were both experienced soldiers. We'd fought in India before that. So this particular story, when I was Jack in this previous life in the Civil War, was quite fascinating because that was just one of the other lives that I've had as a soldier. Now, Jack obviously had a reason for coming back into my consciousness in this life, or down through the subconscious, because that's what happens when you're regressed. You go back to through the subconscious, where all the memories are buried there. So at the end of all this, I was working with a wonderful, wonderful man called Peter Smith. Peter Smith is the president of the Newton Institute for Life Between Lives, hypnotherapy. And Michael Newton wrote wonderful books, and Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Life Between Lives. He was a famous psychologist in America who regressed something like over 7,000 people and took them back into many, many lives. So his credibility is 100%. There's no doubt about that. So the way that Peter took me back into the regression was, it was not only just going there, I then had to answer questions as to why I went there. He was able to access my soul at the end of this particular regression. Now, we don't always bring we never bring all of our soul energy down into each lifetime. There's always something left up there. Call it the higher self, the oversoul, whatever. But there's always a lot left there. And he was able to communicate on a three-way conversation with him, my soul energy, and also the character that I was, Jack, in the U.S. Civil War. And he was able to ask why, what I learned out of that, and why I needed to go back into that particular life to find out just what it is. I'm just trying to find out in the reference in the book so far. It does say, connected with Jack, and I'll just quote it if you don't mind, it asked my soul energy to access all the lifetimes that I'd had in the military to find out what I need to learn in this lifetime. Now, this is really important, what I need to learn in this lifetime. So, deep in hypnotic trance, my soul replied that I had many lives in the military. Some were by choice. I needed to learn about the taking of life, the attitude of the cheapness of life, not respecting life, life was cheap. It was just other people's lives, and that was what the lessons I had to learn. If they were getting in the way for whatever reason, take their life, whether they were enemies or whatever. So when asked if this lesson had been learned, my soul replied, quote, "Oh yes, no more warrior lives. It ended on the Somme. The futility, the degradation, the horror, the senselessness, the terror, fear, hatred, all part of something that is so destructive and so useless." So that's the benefit of this, Adam, that not only do you go back there, but then when you can connect with the soul energy, you find out just why it is you go back to these lives and what you're learning and what you need to understand in this lifetime to help you move on. So that's the benefit, and that's the real structure of why we do this. As I said, it's not just mere curiosity, and we can have some amazing healings, all sorts of things, but there's a breakthrough. It's really a fascinating experience.
Is that you're talking there, Barry, about your connecting with the higher dimensional self?
Yes.
In that, yeah, it's very interesting, this to me. I think this is the path that I'm on as well. How does this work, Barry? You mentioned there, what year was that, the soldier in your previous life, 19...
Well, 1916 was when I was killed on the Battle of the Somme.
That was a previous life.
The one before, as Jack, Captain Jack, he was a captain in the British Army, and they were over in South Carolina at the time.
That's your life before this one now.
No, that was the one before that. The last life was Brian on the Battle of the Somme.
And what year was that?
Well, I died in the 1st of July 1916, and I was only 19, so poor old Brian was only born in about 1896 or 97 or something like that. Well, he was only 19 when he died.
How does this timeline work, Barry, or if you could explain that a little bit? That's a long time between death and birth again, rebirthing.
Not really.
How does it work along the timeline? Do you go back, or you just have to keep going forth? Is it like just the world just keeps spinning and you get off and on all the time like a ride? Are you going to be reborn in different ages, or you have to be reborn as the time progresses?
Well, when you're going back, I mean, past life regression is going back and examining what you were in previous lives, and that's the timeline there. So I went back, my two previous lives to this was Brian in the First World War trenches, and then one before that was Jack, because Jack died in 1864, and Brian then was born in 1897. Now Brian then was killed in 1916, and I was born in 1942. So there's 20 or 30 years in between those lives. So I was going back into the afterlife and examining all the lessons I needed to learn, what I hadn't done, the karma that I may have created, what I needed to come back and resolve, and then working out the next particular life as to where I was going. Working with aid, I mean, you don't just get shoved in a corner and go and sort yourself out. You're given tremendous help on the other side in the world of spirit.
And when you come back to the earth realm, when does it have to be a specific time and date, or like where are you put?
Yeah, it's all pre-organized, and that was why my study of astrology. And one of the questions I did ask my mentors over in this world of spirit, as I said, is astrology right? Does it work? And they said, oh yes, nobody is born at a random time. Everybody is born at the exact moment and the exact place that it was intended for them in this particular lifetime. So you might say, oh yes, but I arrived early, I arrived late. No, you didn't. You arrived exactly on time. Whatever happened, the universe worked it so that you may have been induced, you may have been running late or whatever, as far as your mother was concerned, or as far as the doctor was concerned. But doctors just say, oh, this is when the birth is due. But you arrive exactly at the moment and place that you were destined to be born.
Yeah, and I again, Barry, just, when this happens, say if I died tomorrow,
Hang in there for a bit, Adam. Don't leave us just yet.
If I die tomorrow and, you know, it took like 20 years, let's talk about how that is in the afterlife experience, because we're talking about years here, and obviously this is going to be a different thing, but in the afterlife. But if I died tomorrow and then 20 years I came back, could it ever be back in 1920, or would it have to be 20 years from now?
No, not on the linear timeline that we're looking at here. When you start to get into quantum, you may well be born into a different time. And this is where it becomes the whole area of quantum consciousness, which I did a seminar on a couple of weeks ago. It is so deep and so meaningful. I'm still struggling to learn with it. And my friend Peter Smith, I told you about before, who did the introduction and did the regressions and everything, and a lot of his past life cases are in my book as well. Pete is an expert in all of this, and he talks about the fact that we are actually living all of these lives at the same time. I think I may have mentioned that before. Now, it does my head in to even contemplate that, but that's what quantum actually embraces. So to answer your question, from our point of view, from our perspective, sitting here tonight having a chat, no, you couldn't be born back in the Stone Age or you know, back as one of Julius Caesar's troops or something like that. You will come back again in your next life in what we would regard as the future. Now, how long that is, that will depend on a number of factors. When you go back over, what you've got to learn, what you might need to wait for, rest, recuperate, and the life that is waiting to happen for you, for your best advancement for your soul. Now, we come here to learn, we come here to grow, we come here to develop and mature our soul so that we don't have to come back. The number of lives we have depends on the individual as to how we develop and how many experiences, how many mistakes, how much karma we can resolve and just get everything back to an even state. And then we don't have to come back here anymore. Go somewhere else.
Goodness. If you have a quick turnaround, like a quick reincarnation, Barry, I wonder if it's possible that your relatives or people that you knew would be still on this, in this realm, or are they different kind of slipstreams or different realities, or is it the same one?
Yeah, well, interesting you should say that, because there's a lot of, when children come back, we talk about the veil, and that's what I mentioned in my book, Past Lives Unveiled, because when we're born, this kind of veil drops. Otherwise, we'd have all these memories crowding in experiences into our consciousness, and we just couldn't handle it. We'd go absolutely berserk. It's hard enough coping with life as it is without all our previous lives coming crowding in as well. But when children come down and they're starting afresh, the first few years, not every child, but a lot of children remember. They have some amazing memories of their past lives, and there's been some very good documentation on all this. In particularly live kids in India, for some reason, in that part of the world. And there's a couple of stories that have proven that these children have said, oh, you're not my real family, to their parents.
That's right.
No, my real family actually lives in such and such. And it turned out to be a village not very far away, only a few hours away. They mention the people there. They mention all sorts of things. And they say, please take me. I want to see my other family. And the parents, of course, oh, no, come on, you're dreaming, and I wake up. After a while, when they keep at it, they say, all right, we will go over and we will check out. They go over. They find that there is this other family there. The people are exactly as named by the child. The child recognizes them, never seen them before in this lifetime, goes up to each one, addresses them, and it turned out that the child was actually their mother or their father. And absolutely shocked the pants off the other family, as you can imagine. After it all settled down, now the two families are friends, and the child, who is a child in this life but was the parent in the other life, is able to have this strange relationship with this other family. I mean, there are so many cases like this. They're not happening every 5 minutes, but they do happen. And there's some incredible cases of kids that remember these sort of things. The memories start to fade, past life memories start to fade normally around about 6 or 7 years of age, because that's when the children are off at school and learning and growing, and you know, and they probably just don't talk about it for fear of being ridiculed by the other kids. And then the memories just fade and go back into that part of the subconscious where they can be accessed later on if necessary.
Yeah, amazing, Barry.
It is incredible, isn't it?
It is. My little one will be 4 this year, and she's so special. I've raised her away from TV and all of this, and beautiful books, actually, Australian books written by Shirley Barber on fairies and things like that. And the imagination of this little child is unbelievable. I've been asking about if she remembers anything, because people wouldn't be aware that there's been a lot of studies and research done, exactly what you're saying, Barry, in regards to with children and their past lives and what they remember. And you see it in the mainstream media all the time. These kids are remembering, and you just mentioned that right then. It's an amazing thing. Let's talk about, Barry, the brain and consciousness, because you're talking before about how these past life regressions, you sort of how they can get into your deep subconscious. Could you explain a little bit about this? Like, I kind of think that obviously you're talking about this energy as well, so our consciousness or our soul or spirit is sort of like an energy. How is this attached to us in this life? And are they accessing, or are you accessing that when you go under hypnotherapy? Because it's a past life, so obviously you're born in this life with a new body and new brain. How are they accessing this information in this new brain from a past life?
Well, the brain is not the only form of intelligence. It's been proven scientifically that the heart is also an intelligence on its own. Now, the heart is where the spirit, which is the vehicle for the soul, connects with the human form. So when the body dies, the soul leaves, or when the soul leaves, the body dies, whichever order you want to put it in there. So when we're communicating through the soul. We're not communicating necessarily through the brain. And the brain, some aspects of science believe that the consciousness is actually the brain. But now there are more and more studies proving the fact that consciousness is more aligned towards the soul. So when we are accessing this information through the subconscious, then we are looking at the forgotten memories of the subconscious that are buried there over many lifetimes. And it's part of the soul lineage as well, that we can actually get in there and we can actually move towards these lives with the statement of intention, I want to go there to this particular lifetime or a lifetime where I can get answers to this particular problem. So that we are consulting this subconscious aspect of ourselves, because the conscious mind, as I said before, only operates about 5% of what goes on. The subconscious is 95%. Now, all of the buried memories there. And they are there. We couldn't remember them all. We'd go mad, as I said, if they were in our conscious mind. So when we are going back into the subconscious, we're accessing whatever lifetime that our soul energy, the part of us that doesn't come down to the earth, along with the subconscious, says that we really need to access to be able to get the answers we need. Because the soul knows our true purpose in this lifetime. The soul is guiding us all the time. If you want to find out your purpose in life, try putting your hands on your heart. Cross your hands, your palms, open palms. Cross them over your heart. Get in connection with that beating heart. And then once you've got that connection, just still your mind and then just ask yourself, what is my purpose? Because that's how you can communicate with your soul energy. It's there. You are your soul. You're not your body. Your body is just like, as I said before, it's like an actor in a role. The body is just a human vehicle for the soul's journey on this particular and any other lifetime.
Yeah, that's right. It connects, definitely. Definitely, Barry. Yes, there's so much to go through. It's amazing. And this afterlife experience that people enter... I always have incredible dreams. One thing I've been good at, excel at for sure. Dreams, especially I'll go into that a little bit soon. But always in my dreams, I don't know what you think, Barry, but I never see who I am. It's almost like I'm just sort of floating around. I never see who I am. I'm aware that I'm me. Sometimes I can almost take control of my dreams and sort of, but it's hard. I know a lot of people are working on that. But I never see who I am in any mirror or anything like that. Is this similar to the, because I kind of connect, I'm one of those people that think dreaming is kind of more real than what we're doing right now in our so-called real lives. I think it's quite connected to the afterlife experience. Is dreaming and the afterlife experience similar, where you just, are you without a body? You're this consciousness state again?
Well, at night, we dream because the spirit doesn't need to sleep. The spirit, the vehicle of the soul, is pure energy. It doesn't need to sleep. The body needs to sleep. So when our body is asleep, the spirit roams free and it heads out into the universe, if you like.
Is this like dying, Barry?
No. It's not like, well, I mean, in a sense, yes, but it's still connected.
I guess we're scared of dying, but we go to sleep every night, don't we?
Well, that's true. But there's this impression that we have this long silver cord that attaches our soul to our body, our spirit to our body, and then the soul roams free at night and connects with people on the other side. It learns. It might connect with people who've passed on, family members, friends, whatever. It can connect with our guides and those people who are helping us. And we can also, you've probably had flying dreams, have you? I mean, I've had so many flying dreams.
Absolutely.
So this is the soul flying free, or the spirit flying free, and you're just dashing around all over the place, that total sense of freedom, and you wake up thinking, oh God, I wish I could do that now. Well, you've already done it. It's just that you haven't done it with your body. Basically, we don't have wings. We can't actually fly with our bodies unless we get in an aeroplane. So the freedom that we have there is the freedom of the spirit, and the dreams that we have are... We don't see ourselves because it's our spirit. And even if you dreamt you were in a house with a mirror, there wouldn't be anything there because your spirit does not have necessarily an image that we would associate with our third dimensional reality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that the spirit is having these experiences, coming back, and then embracing them. And then once again, they are also part of your building into your subconscious. So those dreams are there. Now, it's no good reading dream books and saying, because I did this, what does that mean? That's only one person's interpretation. You're far better off doing a meditation, getting in touch with your soul and asking what that dream meant. But if you're going into various places, you can bet your life in your dream that that is actually you. That is your spirit.
Sarai, what do you think about modern technology when we're sleeping, Barry, Wi-Fi and TV, people watching a lot of TV before sleep?
Yep.
When people watch a lot of TV, they have dreams about people in the TV, you know. How does this disrupt us?
It's crazy, it's bad, you know? Because the blue light on screens really interrupts the sleep pattern. And there are so many people that actually go to sleep with them, with their cell phone, mobile phone on the table next to them and everything like that. And I was hearing a story the other night of this parent that went into the room at 2 o'clock in the morning and found his 10-year-old son on a screen at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's absolutely ridiculous. There should not be a screen anywhere near a child, or for that matter, in an adult. I will not sleep with a screen in my room. My phone, my iPod, my iPad at least, all of those things are out in my living room, and I shut the door and cut that energy off because it is just not good for us.
So we need total darkness, don't we?
Yeah, well, that's the melatonin that we need to be able to sleep properly and get the right, and we get that from darkness.
That's right. Barry, are we able to go a little bit longer just to make the full hour?
Sure.
Because we were talking before, I wanted to talk about something personal a little bit here, and it's fear-based, I guess, and it's the reason why I haven't stepped into doing hypnotherapy, past life regression. I'd like to talk to you later if you could recommend anyone to me personally, but I haven't sort of fully looked into it. I've seen a few around that seem good. But from a very young age, I've talked about this a little bit, but not much in my life. But from a very young age, from what my parents said, and I'm talking maybe around 5 years old or so, I had night terrors.
Yeah.
And don't know why. They went right through and intensified in my teenage years. I was a good kid, you know, a bit confused. I had a lot of problems in school and stuff like that. But the night terrors intensified. These are not nightmares. They're night terrors. They're different. These intensified in my teenage, especially towards late teenage years, into my 20s, got quite severe. And then kind of reappeared here and there through the years. And now I'm pretty good. Some nights I'll jump up in here, you know, jump up here and there, get spooked. I don't know what's going on, but I did read in your books and your newest book as well. I have been, my wife has told me a few times, not much, it's very rare, but I do apparently speak in another language. She's mm-hmm. a language teacher and says that she's never heard that language in her life. She doesn't know what it was. She said it sounded quite nice, like a beautiful thing, and it wasn't gibberish. I was another girlfriend back in the 90s said the same thing. I was sitting upright in the bed having a chat in this language, and my wife has seen it a couple of times, heard it a couple of times, sitting upright like I was talking to someone in a different language, and it wasn't gibberish and mumbo jumbo. It was actually a unique language that she hadn't heard of before. And but the night terrors were very interesting to me, and were very bad growing up as a kid, and I'd never been able to find out why. And when I was in high school and getting into my 15 and 16 years and stuff like that, I was actually scared to go to sleep. It was almost like those Freddy Krueger movies, because I thought those nightmares were going to get me in my sleep, and I would stay up really late, and it made it worse because I'd stay up. I had to go to school the next day. I stayed up past midnight, and then, you know, half an hour later after going to sleep, I'd be screaming. Some of them I could remember, but most of them I didn't know I'd even done. And my brothers would tell me in the morning, do you remember what you did last night? And I had no idea. No. You know, it was horrific. I mean, the whole street could hear it. Sometimes I had dreams of being pulled off the bed and things in the room. I would see figures shifting like black sort of flames, you know, in the blackness. They would, and I'd yell at them. My dad would run in. But the really bad night terrors I had, I never remembered them at all, and it really terrified me and screwed me up as a kid in high school years. It really made me isolated and terrified of actually going to sleep, because I couldn't control them and I didn't know I was having them. And this is the thing, the barrier for me, that's causing a lot of problems in my life, because I'm actually scared to get past life regression, if this is connected. I don't know what you think. I've actually been worried of jumping in there and doing it, because I don't know what it means. It might not be anything negative at all, Barry. I just, what would you say to someone like me who's worried about doing this, to try and find out what's going on there, what that block is?
Okay. Well, once again, it comes back to that that fear. And as I mentioned before, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. So that fear is there for you. Now, that fear can stem from something in your early childhood that happened, or you witnessed, or whatever. Now, one of the ways you can go back with other regression that doesn't always have to go back to past lives is to regress back to the beginning of this lifetime. Something can happen even while you're in the womb that can affect you, you retain that in a subconscious level. Now, if you are going back, and you're talking about speaking in foreign languages that are unknown to your partner, that's called xenoglossy. And when people go back into past lives, they'll quite often be able to speak in a foreign tongue, or they'll be able to go into a particular lifetime where they might have been Swedish, for instance, and never, ever learned a word of Swedish in this lifetime. Wouldn't have a clue, but they're being spoken to in this instance as that particular life, and they suddenly start speaking Swedish or ancient Greek or whatever the language is. So that's called xenoglossy. That's been around for quite some time. There's nothing new about that. But I would say that you are definitely something from the past. Now, whether some of the past is in this lifetime, whether it links back to another lifetime or whatever with your night terrors, but you really need to get some professional therapy done on that one. So I really couldn't talk to you on air about that one, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Do you think past life regression therapy would
look, it could. I think to start off with,
is it a safe thing for people to get?
Oh, God, yes.
I feel like I'm totally going to come face to face with something I don't want to see.
No, not at all. You can do a couple of different versions of past life therapy. One where you're basically just observing and you are almost like in the wings of a film studio or something like that, and you're watching the action play out in front of you. Other times, people will go back to what's called revivification, and they will actually live that lifetime. They'll be in that particular soul energy of the time and in the body and hearing and feeling all sorts of things, which I did when my life as Brian the soldier, I was in the trenches. I had that filth and horrible stench, and I could feel my skin crawling with lice. I was itching. It was a dreadful, dreadful feeling. But not every experience is like that. So you can go back, and there's no need to fear, because if you're with the right person, with the right therapist, they will protect you and they will make sure that whatever happens, that you are doing this in a very positive way. And that's the object of past life research, to be able to do this so that there is no fear, there is no danger, there is nothing threatening you. It is all done in a very positive and a very healing way.
Barry, why do you think that we're doing this now? We're talking and you're researching this. Do you think, I mean, in your last life you did past life therapy. Do you think
I died in the trenches in my last life.
Yeah, I mean, in
past life therapy there, mate.
In this life, you're writing books on past life and you're regressing back, which seems like an incredible thing to do. Why is this happening to us now? Are we nearing? Does that mean we're nearing the end of our
life cycle?
Like, yeah, just the reincarnation, the need to reincarnate.
What's happening here? Every case is different, Adam. I mean, we've got 7.3 billion people or something on the planet. Every single person has their own unique story, their unique circumstances, their unique lifetime lineage as it goes back. Everybody is different. So what I've learned is the fact that when I died as Brian, that was the end of my soldiering. So I'd learned a whole lot of lessons. In this lifetime, I had to come back to learn communications, and I learned it in the radio television area and now writing. And that's part of my purpose in this lifetime, to be able to then have the ability to be able to not only research and learn, but to be able to communicate it. So that's why I'm doing that at this particular stage. You're at a stage where you're doing this program. You're doing lots of other things, but you're doing this program. And you're asking questions, you're researching, you're helping other people to find out many, many different answers to many, many different kind of questions. So we're all at different stages of our life cycle.
It sounds like you're excited, Barry, to get into that next life.
Well, I've had a fair whack in this particular one, so I'm not that I'm saying I'm ready to go or anything like that, but when I do go, I'm certainly not fearing the time that I have to depart this mortal coil, as Shakespeare once said. But because I know that I'll have completed my mission in this particular lifetime. And that's my quest, to be able to, I know I've got a mission in this lifetime and I just need to complete it. And we all have. And that mission varies between every single person on the planet. But I'm trying to consciously get in touch with mine, not only just subconsciously, but consciously be in touch with my mission so that I can complete it.
It's how do we, Barry, in this life, do we see the signs of why we're here? I mean, a lot of the big question people would ask, and I myself ask, is what's the point when you live such a long life, 80 or 90 years or whatever, and you go through all these experiences like we are now, and then you pass over, and then you come back, you get reincarnated, and then you forget everything that you did. It seems to me that, you know, you would need to remember what you did in your past life and then come back in another body knowing what you did so you can continue using that knowledge and be better. Well, it seems like our memories are being erased and we're coming back in a new body.
They're not being erased. They're being erased in our conscious mind, which is only 5%, as I said before. The subconscious knows it. The subconscious and the soul knows exactly why we're here. And that's why we get these little messages every now and then to do something or not do something. We reach what I've described over the years as destiny points in each lifetime. And these are kind of pre-programmed, and I can look at somebody's astrology chart or do consultations with them to be able to work out what their destiny points are, when they are. And after that, you reach that destiny point, you have to make a choice. That is where free will comes in. And the choices you make and the direction you take afterwards and how you go about it and what you do, then that is what growth is all about. That is what life is all about.
So the best, is it up to everyone individually, Barry, how they recognize these blinkers, these signs in their lives? Intuition,
yeah,
maybe?
They are there. But you know when you reach a certain point in life and a big decision has to come up and you think, oh, am I going to do this? I've been offered this job, or I'm absolutely sick to death of this job, for instance. I really can't stand it. So then I'm going to go out. Oh, but can I go out? Really, I know I don't like this job. I want something else, but I don't want to put my family into doubt. I don't want to create a problem with the income and not pay the mortgage and all those sort of things. An opportunity comes up and you think, well, yes, I'd like to do that, but it's going to take me away from my family for a little bit. I'm going to have to do traveling and things like that. Oh, will I do it? That's the destiny point. It's up to you to make that decision and to work out and make that decision whichever way you go. There was a movie called Sliding Doors many years ago, and a decision was made where this girl came rushing down the stairs. One scenario, she jumped on the train. The train, she just missed the train. And it was shown how her life panned out by that particular division of time, if you like. So the sliding door moments happen to all of us. And we can have these situations that crop up, and they do regularly, and it's up to us as to what we do and how it plays out.
Yeah, it's so much to go through, Barry. We'll finish up and just promote the book. What's your quick thoughts, Barry, on I think maybe myself in regards to my night terrors and stuff, I've been sensitive to this realm, maybe ghosts or this afterlife realm. I don't know, like these kind of we only perceive so little, you know, here, you know, in our lives, we see so little of what's really around us. Are people sensitive maybe to all of this going on around us that we don't see? Is that maybe, I feel like maybe that was a thing that I was just so sensitive to. I know when my grandfather passed, definitely I was in the house. I could feel it. I could feel this growing up, even when, when I was talking about my night terrors as a little kid. I do have kind of very, very vague memories of an old lady standing over me. And I know when my father bought our house when we were born, an old lady died in the place. What's your thoughts on these people who die? Do they? I felt that about my grandfather. I've said it before, just because he's a very grounded, not an angry man, but very, very grounded here and in his house. And it seemed like after he passed away, he just kept doing the same routine. Do people do this, Barry? You hear a lot. I've read the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the Living of the Dead. Do they get sort of stuck in these? Do they get stuck when they die?
Well, they can.
They don't know they've passed over, or they kind of...
They can, and they don't want to admit they've passed over.
They seem to think that they're still living. Is that what happens?
Yeah, they do.
And then you here, if you're living in that house, you can feel them, and does it upset you in your sleep? Or?
Oh, no, look, I've helped clear a few houses in this way over the years, and the people there are either angry because you're disturbing their peace, it's their house, and what are these people doing in my house? Why can't I speak to them? I'm shouting at them. I'm throwing things at them. They don't take any notice of me. So the frustration builds and builds. So, you know, that lady that you saw as a kid. See, now that could be a trigger point, a catalyst for you having these night terrors. Now, as a very small boy, if you, for instance, saw that vision appear, your grandfather was passing over at the time, that would have had a big impact on you as a small boy. Then you see this other woman that you knew had lived there before. Now, as a small boy, you might be thinking, I can't go to sleep at night because what about that if that woman comes and you know, hits me in the night or drags me away or something like that? You know, small kids have all of these terrors. So that your night terrors now could still be related to that, or that can be the trigger, the catalyst in this lifetime for something that did happen in past lives. So there's no one single answer. You would have to go back and have therapy on this one if you really want to clear it up. And I don't mean years and years of therapy. This can be done in maybe a couple of visits.
Of course.
But it's something that can be done, and it's a classic example of how we can clear blockages and obstacles and answer questions in our current life from past lives. And past life can be in this lifetime as well, because we are basically sitting here right now, the culmination of every moment we have ever lived on this planet or any other planet up to this particular point. This is us, the culmination of all our experiences.
Yeah, there's never been a moment like now. So important. Right. Yeah, I guess what I was getting at there, Barry, is some people can be very sensitive and take it the wrong way, maybe. Maybe it seems like a negative thing, but it was one of the earliest memories as a child of an old lady looking over me when I was asleep, and I'd wake up and open my eyes and see her looking over me, watching me sleep.
See, that's enough to give any kid a night terror.
It wasn't a bad thing. I wasn't being attacked
or
anything.
A child.
Yeah,
at the moment, you could say this is not a bad thing because you're a man grown up with your own children. As a little child, to wake up and see something there like that, that would be enough to give anybody the night terrors, let alone a small child of 4 or 5 or however old you were.
Yeah, maybe just an inquisitive lady, but my father bought the house just around when I was born in the early 70s, and an old lady, I think Italian, I don't know, I'll ask my dad, had died in the place. She'd lived there for a long time. It was an old place, I grew up there, and none of the boys, three older brothers, were having that condition. It was just me. It's right in there. I always think back to it. I try and grasp it, you know, of an old lady looking over me in my sleep, and I reacted violently or badly, of course, as you said, and that could be just that small trigger. I guess it's like throwing a pebble in a lake, in a still lake, Barry. It just ripples out, and when you get to the source of it, it might not be that bad after all.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. But there's these things in our lives, Barry, I feel like, we have to work on ourselves. Of course, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different problems, so it's...
we all do. I mean, life is not meant to be champagne and roses.
No.
We come down here onto this planet from the afterlife. And I say come down, that's just a phrase. We come across from the other dimension, the afterlife dimension. We come here to have as many experiences as we can to learn to grow. You don't grow unless you make mistakes, unless you have ups and downs. If everything just flowed beautifully and smoothly, you wouldn't be learning anything. You'd just be sitting back in a bubble, wouldn't you?
That's right. And it's important to mention as well, Barry, that we're not judged in the afterlife.
No. We judge ourselves, if anything.
Yeah, there's this whole, you know, you're going to go to hell and everything. It's not that. They're experiences. That's what I've learned. Yeah, I really do feel that, Barry. I really do on a personal level. I feel every day more and more that I'm here learning learning all of this. That's why I'm here with you now.
Good.
Yeah.
When we stop learning, we stop growing.
That's right. It's funny. I never did very well in school, you know, and that sort of education and the way that they twist that and do that. I didn't do well, and I reacted badly and I lashed out at them because I was too young to understand. I wasn't properly developed yet. Yeah, but this stuff fascinates me, and I could do this to the cows come home singing.
There you go. So you're a late developer. That's what it is, Adam.
That's right, and that's not a bad thing. So society, we need to encourage our kids and help them along. Great speaking with you tonight, Barry. Why don't we talk just before we go? Mention the book. What's going on here? Are you looking at some touring? Where's the book going to be released? The promotion of the book. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. It's been out for a couple of weeks in Australia at the moment, and it's available in like bookstores and online, places like Booktopia and Fish Pond and whatever, and in a lot of the big stores here. It's called Past Lives Unveiled, as I talked before about going, lifting the veil and looking at our past, discover how consciousness moves between lives. And it's out there to help people to understand that we are more than just the image that we see when we look in a mirror, that there's so much to us. And it goes back over many, many, many lifetimes. And we've got so much to learn about ourselves. And learning about yourself is the key to development, because then the more you know about yourself, the more you're able to progress and also to help other people.
That's right. And I'd say to my listeners, wherever you are around the world, also, Barry does a great radio show, Radio Out There. That's now on iTunes, Barry, and probably other podcasting outlets. Do you just still do that just one night a week?
Oh, look, I record it. I only do one program a week, and it goes out on the internet. It's available, and then the archives are there as well. So I have a guest, a new guest every week. In fact, the guy I spoke about, Peter Smith, was my guest a couple of weeks ago. And I have all sorts of wonderful guests from all around the world, like yourself. And there are so many brilliant people to talk to. So they're all every Friday night, Australian time, I put up a new program. And we're actually looking at some amazing archaeological stuff, some hidden alien skulls that may go back 120,000 years or so. That's tomorrow night's program.
That's incredible, Barry, that stuff. Yeah, Australia as well, and South America. I talked to Lloyd Pye a few times before he passed away. Child skull, and he was planning an incredible trip to Bolivia and Peru, and all of this. You know, I go to South America quite a bit, in Chile and all of this, and the Atacama. I love it over there. It's an amazing place. Australia as well, as I said. Yeah, that's fascinating. I went to Easter Island last year as well, Barry. For about 7 or 8 days, it was just unbelievable. The energy on that place, on that island, was unbelievable.
I've never been
anywhere like this place on Easter Island. It was phenomenal. There was some places where these statues were that were, the energy was so heavy. It was hard to explain. I almost felt like I was being pushed down onto the ground. I spoke to some indigenous people there who do tours, and they were talking about this energy on this place. It was a fascinating place. Absolutely the most unbelievable place I've ever been in my life. I'd love to go back. Fascinating, Barry. I'll put all the links up with the podcast, of course, and I'd love to do another podcast soon, Barry, whenever you have the time, just to chat and talk about your books and just life around us, and break down the system around us. That's what we do, talk about day-to-day things and have a chat. You're a great guy, and I would say to all my listeners out there, these books are so much deeper than you think. Please dive in and get them, because they're really remarkable books, Barry. They come from the heart. You can see it on the first page. They just emanate from there, that you're writing from that heart center. So
that's really the soul, as I said before, Adam.
That's right.
Where the soul connects. So.
Well, there's a lot of books on this, Barry, out there, you know, that people may pick up and put down, but these ones are the real deal for me. And I've been looking into this for a long time, you know, and I think you do connect with information. These kind of books that come along from authors, they're sort of like keys, aren't they? Just kind of connect in parts and open up all the different puzzles, and it's a really amazing, it feels really good. It's an amazing experience. Great to speak with you, Barry. Take care, and good luck on your book, and getting it out there, and all your tours and speaking events. Stay safe. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Adam. Been a great chat.
All right. Take care, buddy.